From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Today, a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I want to talk about discernment. I want to talk about truth. And as prologue to all of that, let me say that back in 1991, I was working on my first book, Christianity in Crisis. And I was in a house provided by the publisher on the coast of Oregon. I remember that occasion with great specificity. And in that book, there's an appendix titled, Are God's Anointed Beyond Criticism? And I thought about that in light of Dr. Blasey Ford's testimony on Thursday, September 27th, before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Because that question, are God's anointed beyond criticism, might well be rephrased. Are sexual assault victims beyond criticism? Well, in my appendix, I note that so often anointed or supposedly anointed men and women of God utter the phrase, touch not mine anointed. And I thought about the correlation between today's mantra that we are not to question sexual assault victims. They are simply to be believed. But another question needs to be asked. Who are God's anointed? Or, in the current case, who are and who are not actual victims of sexual abuse? Respecting God's anointed, we do not accept the claims of Sun Young Moon or other cult leaders simply because of their claims to be the anointed of God. And nor should we accept claims of sexual abuse prior to examination, because nobody's testimony is above evaluation. The task of Christians, as well as those interested in sane jurisprudence, is to follow truth wherever it leads. So on Thursday, I found myself in substantially the same situation I was way back in 1991 when I was working on Christianity in Crisis on the coast of Oregon. Back in 1991, I was mesmerized by the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings on Capitol Hill, and last week I couldn't take my eyes off Blasey Ford's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee. Several things ought to be obvious to anyone who is truly interested in truth. Not one senator asked Blasey Ford a substantial question with respect to her sexual assault charges. Instead, they peppered her with praise. You might recall, if you saw it, you are a national treasure. You're a hero. And hyperbole that went beyond those accolades. Prior to the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings. You might also recall the charges of Julie Swetnick and her lawyer, Michael Avenatti, were providing a very interesting backdrop. Swetnick was saying that she saw Kavanaugh on at least 10 occasions at parties where women were rendered disoriented through alcohol or drugs, and then gang raped. Swetnick said that she remembered seeing boys, including Kavanaugh, lining up outside a bedroom, waiting for their turn with a girl inside the room. Swetnick, in sworn testimony, went on to say that she was the victim of one of these gang or train rapes where Brett Kavanaugh was present. As North Carolina Republican Party Executive Director Dallas Woodhouse has aptly noted, Swetnick was either part of some massive criminal conspiracy to facilitate child rape as an adult, or she was overtly lying to Congress. As Woodhouse put it, to believe that a college adult would continue to go to child rape parties with minors and not do something about it would be a crime. And for hundreds of people to never talk about it would require an ongoing criminal conspiracy to keep it quiet. So she needs to be prosecuted as either co-conspirator to child rape or for lying to Congress. Because impossible allegations greatly harm real victims. And as reported by the AP, Swetnick has an extensive history of involvement in legal disputes, including a lawsuit in which an ex-employer accused her of falsifying her college and work history on her job application. But as far as Avenatti is concerned, and as he has overtly noted, he and Swetnick would thoroughly enjoy embarrassing Republicans on the Judiciary Committee when Swetnick's story is told and deemed credible. And that is the point of the broadcast today. A day in which truth is so obscure and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. When we come back from the break today, I want to note Rachel Mitchell, who went out of her way to make Blasey Ford comfortable when she questioned her, and has now provided an independent assessment of Ford's allegations. Her stated goal was to depoliticize the process and get to truth. I thought that her evaluation was particularly interesting. What she was attempting to do is exercise the very principles that we as Christians are called to demonstrate as we seek truth in a post-truth culture. And because I'm going to spend a certain amount of time on this when we come back from the break, and let you use your discernment skills, let me now give you the quote of the day. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, Jesus said that we should never judge self-righteously or hypocritically, but he also said this, and this is the quote of the day: stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. This is what every Christian is called to do. We are called to discernment skills, and if we do not exercise those skills in this post-truth culture, the truth will continue to be obscure, and this culture will continue to corrode. Remember, everything I talk about on the show you'll find on the web at equip.org. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the bottom line of Rachel Mitchell's independent analysis. Please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important? The number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Wrestling with God, Church, and Religion from the beginning of his career to its end, the writings of Mark Twain vividly display an all-too-human temptation to despair pitted against the vital human impulse to hope. Other topics include how to have a civil discussion about abortion, the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. In this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm talking about discernment. Discernment in a post-truth culture. This is not about politics. It's about truth. Now, politics are another issue, and quite obviously they do involve Roe v. Wade and abortion, but that's a subject for another discussion. Today I'm discussing Rachel Mitchell's nominations investigative counsel for the United States Senate Committee on the Judiciary. This was her analysis after her questioning of Blasey Ford's allegations September 30, 2018, where she was doing what she called an independent assessment to get to the truth. Her bottom line assessment is this. He said, she said case is incredibly difficult to prove. But this case is even weaker than that. Dr. Ford identified other witnesses to the event, and those witnesses either refuted her allegations or failed to corroborate them. And that for the reasons that I'm going to now present on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Dr. Ford did not offer a consistent account of when the alleged assault happened. Exercising discernment skills would note that immediately. She said it happened in the mid-1980s or in the early 80s. Notes from an individual therapy session show her describing the assault as occurring in her late teens. But she told the Post and the committee that she was 15 when the assault allegedly occurred. And while noted, it is common for victims to be uncertain about dates, but Dr. Ford failed to explain how she was suddenly able to narrow the time frame to a particular season and particular year. And it should be noted that when she identified Kavanaugh by name back in 2012, Kavanaugh's name was widely reported in the press as a Supreme Court nominee if Governor Romney had won the presidential election. Dr. Ford has no memory of key details of the night in question, details that could help corroborate her account. She does not remember who invited her to the party or how she heard about it. She does not remember how she got to the party. She does not remember in what house the assault allegedly took place or where that house was located with any specificity. She does not remember how she got from the party back to her house. She agreed that she was driven somewhere that night, but has no memory of who drove her or when. Nor has anyone come forward to identify him or herself as the driver. She does, however, remember small and very distinct details. She had exactly one beer, and she recalls taking no medication at the time. Blasey Ford's account of the alleged assault has not been corroborated by anyone she identified as having attended, including her lifelong friend. All three named eyewitnesses have submitted statements to the committee denying any memory of the party whatsoever. Ms. Kaiser stated through counsel that, simply put, Ms. Kaiser does not know Mr. Kavanaugh and has no recollection of ever being at a party or gathering where he was present with or without Blasey Ford. Her friend Leland, apparently the only other girl at the party, did not follow up with Dr. Ford after the party to ask why she had suddenly disappeared. Her account of who was at the party was also inconsistent. There were four boys in the bedroom in which she was assaulted. There were two in the bedroom. And in her letter to Senator Feinstein, she said, "Me and four others were present at the party." In her testimony, she said, there were four boys in addition to Leland, Kaiser, and herself. And she couldn't remember the name of the fourth boy, and no one has come forward as the fourth boy. Dr. Ford has struggled to recall important recent events relating to her allegations. And her testimony regarding recent events raises further questions about her memory. Dr. Ford's explanation of why she disclosed her allegations the way she did raises further questions. She claimed originally that she wished for her story to remain confidential, but the person operating the tip line at the Washington Post was the first person other than her therapist or husband to whom she disclosed the identity of her alleged attacker. She testified that she had a sense of urgency to relay the information to the Senate and to the president. She did not contact the Senate, however, because she claims that she did not know how to do that. She does not explain why she knew how to contact her congresswoman, but not her senator. And let me add, parenthetically, that this is a PhD in psychology. Ford is a seasoned researcher. Blasey Ford has papers published in peer-reviewed research journals. Someone with those credentials, one would think, would know how to contact her senator. And she does not explain why she knew how to contact the congresswoman, but not the senator. Dr. Ford could not remember if she was being audio or video recorded when she took her polygraph test. She could not remember whether the polygraph occurred the same day as her grandmother's funeral or the day after her grandmother's funeral. It would also have been inappropriate to administer a polygraph to someone who was in the grieving process. That's common sense. Dr. Ford's description of the psychological impact of the event raises further questions. She maintains that her symptoms prevent her from flying. But she agreed during testimony that she flies fairly frequently for her hobbies and for her work. Hawaii, French Polynesia, Costa Rica. She testified that she was not clear on whether investigators were willing to travel to California to interview her or wherever she wanted to meet to conduct the interview. She alleges that she struggled academically in college, but she has never made any similar claim about the last 2 years of high school. Now think about that. In those 2 years of high school, this is an incredibly significant time in terms of if there was a struggle or if there wasn't a struggle regarding your grades to get into a very significant university. Now, all of this and more is what people ought to consider, whether you are a senator or you are a Christian listening to my voice right now. We ought to consider the facts. Touch not mine anointed, or do not question those who accuse others of sexual assault is not acceptable. The question is, who are God's anointed? And was someone really assaulted or were they not? Who is and who is not a sexual assault victim? Those are the questions that ought to be answered. Because lives hang in the balance, political agendas are forwarded, and truth is being thrown to the wind. This is an age in which Christians must exercise discernment skills. I've written about that in many different places, including the appendix that I noted at the very beginning of this broadcast, which could be found in my book, Christianity in Crisis, a book available to those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. We are out of time for this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast on discernment. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Claiming to have been set free from the shackles of religion, theologians, pastors, and seminary graduates who once confessed Christianity are leaving the faith to lead groups now critiquing all things Christian. But you can learn how to respond. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, how to have a civil discussion about abortion, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.